I was sitting in my study, writing letters, when I heard, "Please, dear Mama, Mary told me that you mustn't be disturbed. But I's tired of little Kitty. Want some other thing to do. Writing letters, is you, Mama? Can't I write a letter too? Not now, darling. Mama's busy. Run and play with Kitty now." "No, no, Mama, me write letters. Can if you will show me how. I would paint my darling's portrait as his sweet eyes searched my face, hair of gold and eyes of azure, form of child bewitching grace. But the little face was clouded as I slowly shook my head. Then I said, now little, oh, then I said, till I said, I'll make a letter of you, darling boy, instead. So I parted back the tresses from his forehead, high and white, and a stamp in sport I pasted, midst its waves of golden light. Then I said, now little letter, run away and bear good news. And I smiled as down the staircase clattered loud the little shoes, leaving me, the darling, hurried down to Mary in his glee. Mama's writing lots of letters. I's a letter, Mary, see. No one heard the front door open. No one saw the golden hair as it scattered o'er his shoulders in the bright October air. Down the street the prattler hastened till he reached the office door. And he said, now, Mr. Postman, I'm a letter, Mr. Postman. Is there room for any more? But the clerk in wonder answered, not today, my little man. Then I'll find another office, 'cause I must do if I can. For this letter's going to Papa. Papa lives with God, you know. Mama stamped me. I's a letter. Does he think that I can go? Then I should have put that first. Then the clerk in wonder answered, not today, my little man. Then I'll find another office, 'cause I must do if I can. Vain the clerk would have detained him, but the pleading face was gone. By the little feet went hastening, and the busy crowd swept on. Suddenly the crowd was parted. People fled to left and right, as a pair of maddened horses at that moment dashed in sight. No one saw the baby figure, no one saw the golden hair, till a shriek of childish terror rang out on the autumn air. 'Twas too late. A moment only stood that beauteous vision there. Now the little face lay lifeless, covered o'er with golden hair. Reverently the rays, my darling, brushed away the curls of gold, saw the stamp upon his forehead, growing now so icy cold. Not a mark the face disfigured, showing where the hoofs had trod, but the little life was ended. Papa's letter was with God. A district school not far away, mid snow-clad hills, one winter's day, was humming with its wonted noise of 80 mingled girls and boys. Some few upon their tasks intent, and more in furtive mischief bent, the while the master's downward look was fastened on a copybook. When suddenly, behind his back, rose sharp and clear a rousing smack. "What's that?" the startled master cries. "That, sir," a little imp replies, "was William Willett, if you please. I saw him kiss Susanna Peath." With frown to make a statue thrill, the master thundered, "Hither, Will!" Like wretch o'ertaken in his track, with stolen chattels on his back, Will hung his head in fear and shame, and to the awful presence came a great, green, bashful simpleton, the butt of all good-natured fun. With smile suppressed and birch upraised, the master thundered, "Hither, Will!" is that you, my biggest pupil, should be guilty of an act so rude. What evil genius put you to it? 'Twas she herself, sir, sobbed the lad. I didn't mean to be so bad, but when Susanna shook her curls and said that I was feared of girls and durstn't kiss a baby's doll, I couldn't stand it to her at all. I up and kissed her on the spot. I know, I ought or not.